Tex Mars, I want to welcome you to the Hour of the Time. You know, we have approximately 10 million listeners worldwide, and you're going out to every continent and every city on this earth.
Well, Bill, I'm just delighted to be with you, and frankly, I think that is an incredible thing that we can be across this globe. And I like to say that it's wonderful because we're going to be telling the truth, and there are people in many nations across the globe, including, of course, the United States of America, that don't often hear the truth. And so this is the time that they can listen in and find out some things that they will never hear anywhere else on any other program, whether it's on international shortwave radio, their local television, media, newspapers, or whatever. So I'm delighted to be with you.
Well, what I would like for you to do, Tex, is introduce yourself, your background specifically. Everybody's heard your name. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you've done and about some of the books that you've written. And later in the program, we'll tell our listening audience how they can get a hold of some of those books or a catalog of the books that you offer if they so desire.
Sure, Bill. I retired from the Air Force in 1982, retired as an Air Force officer, having really been all over the world, full career, a little bit over 20 years. I retired and opened up a high-tech consulting firm called Tech Trends. I had taught at the University of Texas at Austin and for two other colleges and universities in the subjects of international affairs, political science, and some other topics as well. As in the Air Force, of course, I was really a teacher of young officers. I remember one of the courses I taught, I guess you almost get a call on how to conduct World War III. I taught strategic weapon systems to upcoming officers in the Air Force. And also taught on such subjects as terrorism, international terrorism. So it had sort of a varied background. And, of course, when you get into high-tech, the high-tech area, I wrote a number of books for major New York publishing houses, Simon & Schuster, McGraw-Hill, Prentice Hall, and so forth. And when you get into high-tech, you realize that the lines become very blurred between high technology and such things as spooks or spies, and even the economic and political and sometimes even religious goings on. In the 1987, Bill, my wife Wanda and I decided that we wanted to donate, or dedicate, I guess is the better word, to dedicate the rest of our lives to serve Jesus Christ. Now, we had been Christians before, but quite frankly, we were really just not living 100% for God. And we decided to do exactly that. We decided to, if necessary, give up every cent we owned and to do nothing but to follow Jesus and to take the talents God had given us, whether it was in the high technology field or whether it was in my teaching at college level for international affairs and political science or my military background, having gone all over the world, spent military tours in Italy, in Germany. I was assigned there as an officer, right across, you might say, the Fulda Gap, across from East Germany, where World War III would exactly have been conducted. I also earned the Vietnam Service Medal. I spent 2 years in Southeast Asia. So we just decided to give everything we had to the Lord and ask God to use those talents, that information and knowledge. And Bill, I think an astonishing thing happened. God put an overwhelming desire on my heart to research and expose something called the New Age Movement. Frankly, at the time, I didn't know much about it. I thought it was a bunch of silliness, and which it certainly panned out to be, that most of it was weirdness and quackery. But there was a very evil underpinning behind the New Age Movement. So I began, really in 1986, 87, after I had dedicated my life to Christ, to do what God wanted in terms of exposing the New Age Movement. And the thing that was amazing about this is that although I did look into the spirit channeling, some of the UFO cults, and to crystal powers, pyramid powers, and the Shirley MacLaine, you know, I am God type things.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, I believe the area that really got my interest was the international organizations connected with the New Age movement. Actually, the New Age is simply really a glittery term for a cult. And I was very interested and fascinated in the fact that there were international globalist organizations. And of course, I'm sure you know many of these because you've done a tremendous job in researching yourself. And I have to tell you, your book, Beyond the Pale Horse, and many of the things you're doing certainly seem to correlate. And I would have to, I'm going to have to endorse much of what you've been doing, because these are the same things that I've been finding in my own research. But what I found was that when you look at the religious and the occult world, really there is an occult clique of men and women involved in a conspiracy to take over this planet and to impose their own controls, standards on the rest of humanity. This was an interesting discovery, but what I found was that the folks who had been warning us for some years about such groups as the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and such groups as that, I found that there were definite ties with the New Age globalist organizations. And in fact, whenever you really look behind the scenes and you unravel the money connection, in other words, who is funding all of this,
mm-hmm.
I found that the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Fed Reserve chairman, the larger Wall Street brokerage firms, all of these groups were behind most of the isms that we've studied and known about this century, whether it was Nazism, fascism, or communism, and then the New Age movement, the United Nations organization's establishment, and now we have a number of areas. It absolutely floored me that this was a political, a religious, and an economic conspiracy, and that the same men who seemingly on the surface, you know, we were discussing this before this program, Bill, seemingly would be capitalist, bankers and such, international financiers, but these men are behind all of these various groups, and yet there are, no doubt, I've never bothered to count them all, but certainly if we put it on a computer and calculate it, we would find that there are probably 50 to 100,000 front organizations around the world that have been founded by the same group of men over the years. And yet these front groups operate all in tandem, and it's just an amazing thing that's going on about us. And of course the media are involved too, education, medicine. This touches every part of our lives. So people out there who might be saying, well, I don't know how this is going to impact on me, let me tell you something. It's found at the White House. It's going to be found at the largest law firms in America. It's going to be found on your television screen. Your life is unavoidably controlled by the same small clique of men. So I guess, Bill, the thing, I've taken a long time to say this, but people need to know, because their lives, from the moment they wake up to the time they hit the sack at night, is affected. And as you know, I've written a number of books about this. I wrote Dark Secrets of the New Age. It was the number one Christian bestseller, Mystery Mark of the New Age. I wrote Ravaged by the New Age, so I did a big job exposing the New Age. Then I wrote Millennium, Peace Promises and the Day They Take Our Money Away, a book called America Shattered. And then my newest book is called Dark Majesty, The Secret Brotherhood and the Magic of 1,000 Points of Light.
You know, it's amazing that the title of your book is Dark Majesty, and you're writing about the magic of this occult organization and who they are and what they are. And one of the things that I exposed in the UFO, so-called UFO community, was this revelation of the Eisenhower briefing documents, which was Operation Majestic 12. And the 12, of course, pops up all over the occult as the zodiac. And then the majesty, of course, is Lucifer. And this was supposedly classified top secret slash magic. And while I was attached to the Office of Naval Intelligence, I also saw another version of this called Operation Majority, top secret slash magic, containing the same information, but with different project names. And what I've discovered is that all of this is being promulgated to control the collective consciousness of all of us and make us perceive that there's an enemy to this Earth from outer space that does not exist. And that these people are promulgating this, and that all of it, everything that there is to know about any of these things, is coming from a lot of different areas and directly from these same groups and these same people. And what you've described in your initial introduction there is the Masonic credo, which is of the 33rd degree, Ordo Ab Chaos. If they control all these different organizations, which even from any viewpoint seem to be opposing each other, but at the top they're really controlled by the same people. For instance, you were talking about an article you have. Why don't we go into that? I think this is a good time to do that.
Sure, because the article is about Nelson Mandela. The most interesting thing is that most people believe that if you're a banker or you're an oil a company executive, for example, or savings and loan chieftain, that obviously you're going to take the sort of the National Association of Manufacturers view. You'll be a capitalist, and you certainly would be opposed to communism, socialism. But the interesting thing about this article is, and it's, by the way, it's New York Newsday, July 6th, 1993, page 15.
And by the way, folks, I have that same article in front of me, so we're talking about the same thing. Go ahead,
Tex. I like the title of the article, Bill. It's Dining for Dollars.
Right.
Dining for Dollars. And it's written by Dele Alojid, the United Nations correspondent for New York Newsday newspaper. And it mentions that David Rockefeller and 75 well-heeled friends had Nelson Mandela over to dinner at the Rockefeller Plaza in Manhattan, and of course they claim here at least $250,000. It's just at that one dinner for the backers of Mandela's African National Congress. The interesting, by the way, there were many. It said here it was a who's who of corporate and business leaders.
Isn't that amazing?
It is indeed. And by the way, there was also the American Jewish Committee that recognized Mandela for his so-called contribution to human rights. But Thabo Mbeki, the African National Congress's Secretary of Foreign Affairs, who accompanied Mandela, stated that Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, former chairman of Chase Manhattan, the founder of the Trilateral Commission, and only known as you know, said that Rockefeller had been backing Mandela and the African National Congress financially for more than a decade. And I quote him, he said, he's a friend we've been in touch with a long time. Now, the fascinating thing about this is that Mandela is a communist. This is a communist group. Now, once you understand this, then you know why the media have all been backing Nelson Mandela and have made him into an international hero. Because the Rockefeller, the same interest, the Illuminati interest, control our media. So then naturally they're going to make sure that Nelson Mandela becomes the hero over in South Africa, and all of this, of course, was faded. Interesting thing is, how is it possible that Rockefeller could have been backing Mandela, a communist, for years, in fact, for more than a decade, even when he was in a prison cell? Even when he was in a prison cell, having been convicted of terrorist acts, Rockefeller and the boys, so to speak, were giving these guys big bucks. And now, of course, the bucks are going to pay off because Mandela is in their camp. He's obviously controlled by them from the very beginning. I think it's interesting, though, how is it possible that Rockefeller, who must, surely, Bill, I'm sort of chuckling when I say this, must be a capitalist. he must be, the whitest of the conservatives who detest blacks. I mean, surely he's one of those bigoted corporate types. That are in it for nothing but the money. Why would he be involved with Mandela and backing the Communist Party over there all these years? And the answer, of course, comes, is we understand very well that communism has always been backed. In fact, it was fomented in the very first place by the Rockefeller interest here in the United States. This, of course, has terrific implications for the gold markets in South Africa, such a gigantic producer of gold, physical gold, that is. It appears to be a put-up job for a long time now. The things that we've been seeing going on in many parts of Africa, and particularly South Africa.
Now, most people out there would be shaking their heads and saying, how can this be, and what does this mean? If they've been listening to my show, they heard me read off almost the entire membership of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission about a week ago. And, of course, I made the point that Rockefeller is the director emeritus of both the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations, and is one of the big players with the Bilderberg Group, which is the overseer on an international level. Now, we know that Rockefeller has been involved in a lot of things. He helped through various banking firms, along with George Bush's father, to finance Hitler's rise to power, the Rockefeller family I'm talking about. Back when the Bolshevik Revolution was taking place, large sums of money were funneled from New York and London to back the communist takeover of what was then Russia and what later became the Soviet Union. And we also know that Rockefeller is responsible for the initial business deals that made Ross Perot a multi-billionaire, and now Ross Perot is calling for a constitutional convention to change our constitution and says it doesn't work.
That's an interesting thing, and of course Rockefeller was responsible for what's been called the New States Constitution. He wants to give us a constitution, and as you just mentioned, you said something there that I think I hope that didn't go over people's head. I'm sure it didn't, the folks that listened to you and really understand what you've been talking about for many months now. But the fact that the Rockefeller interest made Ross Perot what he is today, for the most part. Now, there are others who gave Perot contracts, Frito-Lay and others. But you and I know about Nelson Rockefeller as governor of the state of New York, giving the first, you might say, billion with a capital B, billion-dollar contract to the tiny little company down in Texas headed up by Ross Perot. And, you know, you don't do that if you're a scion of New York State. I mean, that's a state eaten up by political interest, by the mafia, and so forth. You don't go out of state to give a billion-dollar contract to an unknown little Texan boy.
That's correct. And there was
back in the 60s.
That's right.
And Nelson Rockefeller did, didn't he?
And it even goes farther than that. There was only one bid submitted for that contract, and it was submitted by Ross Perot, and there were no competing bids, which is absolutely impossible unless the whole thing was rigged from the beginning. So we know that Ross Perot got his start and literally owes everything that he has become to the Rockefeller family. And what he is doing now is acting as another front for the Rockefeller interest in creating chaos in this country to bring it to its knees.
It certainly appears that way. I think the most fascinating thing, I think, as a Texan, being here in the capital of the state of Texas, in Austin, Texas, and sort of having my pulse even on state politics and knowing what some of the richest men in the state of Texas are doing, and they are, as you know, Bill, some of the richest in the world.
That's correct.
Here in Texas. But it's very fascinating. In the Dallas-Fort Worth newspaper just a few months ago was an interesting article about Ross Perot Jr. Here's what is happening. Ross Perot Jr. is a pretty astute businessman like his dad, Ross Perot Sr. Both of them together have gone in, and they have a company called Alliance Development up in the Fort Worth, Dallas area.
Mm-hmm.
They put as a minimum of $250 million of their money into this. Now, the biggest thing that this Alliance Development is going to be involved in is development down in Mexico and in Central and South America as soon as NAFTA is approved. And not only that, but Ross Perot Jr., Ross Perot's son, who supposedly is, or ostensibly is the head of this company. But according to the paper, Ross Perot Sr. has at least a 20% interest financially in it.
That's correct. And traditionally, all it takes to control a corporation is a 5% interest.
Isn't it fascinating that Ross Perot Jr., it was unmasked there in the Dallas-Fort Worth newspapers, has been working behind the scenes in Washington, D.C. with certain federal bureaucrats and agencies to make sure that NAFTA goes through so that he can be tremendously, or he and his dad can be tremendously enriched. At the same time, old Ross Perot Sr. is going before Congress and saying, oh, no, we can't have NAFTA. Don't you hear that sucking sound? That's all those jobs being sucked out down to Mexico. The fact is that he's going to become a billionaire over and over and over again as soon as NAFTA gets approved, and his own son is working for NAFTA to go through. So, you know, it's these people are so two-faced, it's absolutely incredible.
Well, they are two-faced, and but it's something a little more than that. I've discovered a pattern through the years, going way, way back, in which they create a situation. And they control both sides of the situation, and they bring this into a clash or a conflict, these two sides with each other. While they're controlling both sides, and if they're controlling both sides, they can, in fact, control the outcome. And one of their major ploys is the old magician's trick of he'll hold up something and flash something with his right hand while what's really happening is happening in his left hand.
That's true. You know, one of the things that I think is people really need to understand right now, because there's so many people, Bill, that say, well, what does this all have to do with religion, though, with spiritual things? I don't get the spiritual connection. Now, if they would read your book, they would probably, you know, a light bulb would go off in their head if they listened to your program here on WWCR. If I can possibly give people a little insight to a fantastic event that is going to take place in August, late August, in Chicago, that is connected with Rockefeller, I think they would begin to see the picture. And it will also relate to what you just talked about, you know, the Hegelian dialectic.
Right.
The really setting up both the thesis and the antithesis, and then later coming, of course, and putting them together with what has been called the synthesis, but basically controlling both sides of an issue. And therefore, you make sure it's going to come out, the end result, exactly the way you want, since you control both sides. Well, one of the men who has probably been called the giant of the world's Christianity, certainly in America, for decades now, is Billy Graham. Now, we can talk about Billy Graham and some of his very weird and odd connections with the Illuminati, but That would probably take another program or two. But let me just say that right now, there are certain interests that have chosen the new Billy Graham. Billy Graham is getting a little older. He's been quite ill lately. He's been a victim of a few accidents. He fell in his bathtub. He's got some evidence of Parkinson's disease. He's getting up in age, so they need a replacement. So there are certain interests that have chosen already. There is a new man already chosen to take this role, to lead the Christian community into the toward at least the 21st century. That man is Chuck Colson.
And he has quite a history, doesn't he?
He does have quite a history. He was a lobbyist, grew wealthy by becoming a lobbyist for Investor Diversified Services. You may remember that crooked outfit back in the early 70s. And then, of course, he was convicted in the Watergate scandal and sent up to prison, federal prison for a while. But then he said he was born again as a Christian. So the Christian community, there is one very strong trait about Christians, and that is they're willing to forgive and forget. And so they believe this man, Chuck Colson, when he said, hey, I'm born again. And he's become a star now in the Christian world. And there are some things that would deserve, let's just say, very careful investigation. Why it is that all at once Chuck Colson is getting the most incredible buildup of any man in history except Billy Graham.
Hold that thought, Tex. We've got to take our break now. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back after this very short